Some keys to understanding God is part of our theme today on Chapter and Verse.
When you learn to trust God, you know that He's the one that puts you in the boat. You know that He's overlooking your life and protecting you. And you know He'll always come to your rescue. And you know that He'll help you grow and be a godly woman or a godly man without mistaken theology. Ladies and gentlemen, God's working on your behalf. He's not working against you. So be patient with God. Be patient with Him. But listen, above all, be patient with yourself. You're never going to be perfect. Be patient with yourself. Don't beat yourself up so much and think such bad thoughts of who you aren't and who you should be. Just be you and let Him be Him, and it'll all work out.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and shout,
Welcome to the Tuesday broadcast of Chapter and Verse, where our teacher Mike McIntosh is taking us through a daily verse-by-verse study of the book of John. Fear gripped the disciples when they saw Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee. They'd spent most of their lives fishing those waters, and new storms could arise at any moment. But seeing a figure walking on the water was a new experience, to say the least. Of course, Jesus could have just appeared on the other side, but there's more to this story. It's a lesson for these seasoned fishermen and for us today as well. Does Jesus just walk on water is the title of our message. So now let's open our Bibles to the book of John chapter 6 and listen to our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
Sometimes, oh, everything's so cool with Jesus. He's right there. He's sleeping. I'm a little upset he's sleeping, but now the storm's here. At least I know where he is. In the second one, he's not with them. The first was with him in the boat. There's a picture here. The second storm, he comes into the boat with them. The picture is the parting of the Red Sea. Moses spread out praying to God, what's going on? Mountains on one side, Red Sea on the other side, the Egyptian army coming with the Pharaoh, and God says, what are you doing praying? This is a time to get up and be active. And so God parts the Red Sea, and 2 million Jews walk through the dryness of the Red Sea. And just as Pharaoh and his troops start riding through the dry part of the Red Sea with those walls of water up there, trillions of tons of water being held back by God's word, he drops the water on them and wipes out the whole Egyptian army. But time goes on. These people are hard-hearted and rebellious, and God's trying to get them someplace. You know, they could have walked from Egypt a direct route to Canaan land in 11 days, but they chose the 40-year plan. They could have gone right over there, but oh no, we're going to do it our way. And God says, you want to go the 40-year plan? Great. Well, let's use the 40 years to empty you of yourself. And let's teach you trust. I'll provide you water where there's no water. I'll provide you food where there's no food. I will provide all your clothing. You'll wear the same clothes and shoes. Imagine that, ladies. The same shoes for 40 years. The same shoes. And they never wore out. You will learn to trust me because I am sending you to a land that flows with milk and honey and everything is taken care of for you. You don't have to do anything but just bless me. That's all you got to do. But since you're so prideful and self-centered, we've got to allow this 40-year deal to work out in your life. So God knows what's best. He put him in the boat. But then, as they're getting closer to Canaan, the Jordan River blocks them. Aha! God parted the Red Sea. So Moses, Aaron, tell God to part the Jordan River. It's not what God hadn't planned, did he? He said, you priests, come here, I want to talk to you guys. You're going to go over there and you're going to pick up Indiana Jones' box over there. You're going to get the Ark of the Covenant and you're going to put the rods on your shoulder like the book of Leviticus says, and you're going to walk out into the middle of the Jordan as it is rising and in flood stage. And when you get to the middle, I will stop the Jordan from flowing. And it was in flood stage, much like Hurricane Katrina brought New Orleans into trouble. You see, you may have to do today exactly what these people had to do by faith. It may be time for you to mature and grow up and get your feet wet. You know, maybe God has parted the Red Sea for you before, but he's saying it's too long that you have your sippy cup and your pacifier and your changeable diapers. It's time for you to grow up in my kingdom. You need to now step out and get your feet wet. And do you know that when these men, these priests of God, actually took this Ark of the Covenant And they got their ankles into the water that the water started to stop. And when they got to the middle and stood there with the ark, it froze the water. It was just stopped. And all those 2 million Jews walked right across into Promised Land. You see, God did it one way one time. He did it another way the other time with the water. He did one storm one way, and when he thought that their character was stronger and that their faith was stronger and their trust was stronger, he did it another way. You see, Paul the Apostle put it this way to the Corinthian church in the first century. And this is where some of you are. There is no temptation or trial or testing or storm in your life. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to all men. The God who is faithful will not allow you to be tested above what you are able to bear, but will with this same temptation give you the means of escape. Does that mean I start drinking heavily? Does that mean I file bankruptcy immediately? Does that mean I start fighting people and being angry? Does that mean my bitterness spews out and destroys people and I say mean things with my tongue? Does that mean that I just run from the affliction? I get the divorce? I get the abortion? I run from the storm? No. What it says is that every person sitting next to you has gone through what you're going through. And you're the only one that is holding on to what you're holding on to. And others have crossed over to the other side. You see, the stragglers, they never made it. And do you know that in the story of the wilderness, if you read the book of Exodus, the Amalekites who God finally destroys and remembers that it was that you were always harming my people, do you know who they always attacked? It was the fringe people. That's not like the village people, a singing group. The fringe people. They were the people that weren't totally committed to what God was doing. They were on the outskirts. They were always in the back of the class. They were always walking at the end of the trail. And the Amalekites would come in and kill them and steal whatever they had. You see, with many people, they think, oh, this is too much to bear. No, it isn't, because God wouldn't allow you to have it if it were too much to bear. It's that simple. But you have been trained, oh, this is too heavy, man. Smoke a joint. Come on, do something. You know, excessive eating, excessive sex. You can go on and on and on. You know all the list. But it's only because you're not trusting. The only reason this situation has arisen is because God knows that He can take you through it. Now, you may be coming back to the same ones, but if He puts you in the boat, trust is very important. The Red Sea parted, and the Sea of Jordan were held back. Secondly, you got to always remember in your storms, He's looking over you. You see, He was on the hillside looking down, had a view of all the people on the side, saw it get darker, saw the wind come up from the Mediterranean, from the Golan Heights all the way down to the south of the Sea of Galilee. In Syria, the desert winds come up, and they rise up onto the Golan Heights in that area, and then they drop straight down the cliffs into the Sea of Galilee. They come off the Mediterranean, very pleasant, like they do off the coast of San Diego, and they come across the East County. They come right across and go over to those mountains and up. And if they're colliding, it is a bowl where the Sea of Galilee is. It's not a lake. It's a sea. It's called the Lake of Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee. Do you know that it's 150 feet deep? So it's a pretty deep place. It's 600 plus feet below sea level. So it is a place in the earth that holds the water that is designed to accept storms every day. And these boys knew these storms, but there's a lesson they didn't know. If Jesus is out of the boat, does He work just as well as when He's in the boat? You know, are things really great when you got a lot of money and you got the trailer and you got the motorhome and you got the house over here and the relaxation place over here? No, everything's great. But things are bad when there's a storm? You mean God only works when it's comfortable? Doesn't work in your life or in situations when it's uncomfortable? That's the lesson to learn about trust. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's looking over me. And this group of men were safer in God's will in that storm than being on the land with crowds who are out of God's will. And you are safer in the middle of a storm any day, knowing that God put you in that boat, in that situation, than you'll ever be with your drinking buddies or your crowds and pals. Or your crooked friends that are out of God's will. You are much safer in the most painful situations in life, knowing that God put you in the boat and He's over you, taking care of you, that you can rest in that something around you was ready to destroy you and maybe even lift you up to make you think you're somebody you're not. Now, Jesus perceived bread and circus. Move my boys on. They've got bigger things than this. Jesus was on this hill. And the Bible says he's on Mount Zion, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The third thing we see in this story, to always remember, he put me in the boat. He's looking over me. But he'll always come to my rescue. He'll always come to my rescue. He'll always be there, no matter what. You know, we had a helicopter crash. I was part of a debriefing team. And I remember when this thing happened. It was very ugly. And I remember the officer that was holding the dying officer in his arms. And how ugly the whole thing was. How guilty he felt. That he couldn't help him more. How angry the people were in the room, all very normal. The tension was so high. And why didn't you do this? And why didn't you do that? And everybody tells their story. And this one officer says, well, I came all the way from such and such area in the county. And it was back in these hills. And we didn't know where the crash was. And boy, I drove through farmland and fences. And I ripped my lights off. And he said, I came to this one fence. I couldn't shoot the lock off. And so finally, I jumped over the fence. And I fell on the ground. And I twisted my ankle. And I ran 100 yards. And there was the body laying there and the other three people. And I tried to help, but my foot hurt. You know, that was good what he said. But he didn't just jump over the fence and twist his ankle. He broke his leg. And he just didn't run 100 yards. This police officer ran 1 mile on a broken leg. How much more could you do to save somebody? And some of you have done all you can do in life. You're rowing. But somebody on the left side of the boat has dropped the oar, and you've been rowing in circles. You know, do you have a reputation of being one oar in the water? Do people look at you that they can't trust you? They can't rely on you? Your word isn't gold? You won't complete what you start? You see, this is a tremendous lesson. They needed to learn all this just through the word trust. I can't let my oar down. We're doing the best that we can. This storm is the biggest storm we've ever seen. It's a ghost! I am. The great I am of the universe. He's not walking on hot coals. Anybody can do that in Capernaum. He's walking on water. Physics tell us that you cannot have a body that is heavier than water. Will it float? Dave Letterman calls it. No, a human body won't float. But Jesus showed that there is no storm in your life. No hurt, no pain, no suffering, no setback, no failure. That God won't send his son to you to help you. You need to just trust him. He loves you so much. He may leave you out there a little while, but when you've learned a lesson, you're to the other side. Without a Yamaha or a Honda motor, you're there. You're just on to the other side. He will come to my rescue. But there are two storms. And I wonder if you know that about life. Because some of you have failed in your marriage and in your relationships with the girls and the guys. You've failed at business. You've failed at your jobs. You've failed in so many things that you're just sort of a whip dog. You just hang your head down. You're not going to ruffle feathers. You're not going to go forward, but you're just going to... You've been hurt too much. Very normal attitude to not get back up. But if you don't get back up, the mob will walk over you. You've got to get back up. And Jesus stands with his hands out, and you look and you see that hole in his hand. There's a classic example of he trusted God. Not my will be done. If there's any way that this could pass for me, but not my will, your will be done. Some of you, he shows you both hands. Some, he says, look at the hole in my side. Some of you, he turns around and lets you see his back of what he went through. No, you see, he will come to your rescue. The two storms. Number one, a storm of correction. Jonah is a classic picture. Sometimes I need a storm in my life that is so big because I need to be corrected because I'm disobedient, I'm proud, I'm arrogant, I'm pushy, I'm hurting somebody, I'm not paying attention, I'm not listening. You know, I read Jonah before I went to sleep last night. Do you know what it says about this dude? It says that God said, go to this area, to Nineveh, and pronounced judgment on it, and he ran to Tarshish, probably towards Spain and Great Britain. He got a ship. He paid with his own money for the ticket to be disobedient to God, and he went down into the lowest part of the ship. Boy, and I was thinking of my youth. I was always at the lowest part of the ship. If it was Friday night, I was so low. You know, just life, you get down to the low life, and you live a low life. And it says the storm was so wild that the sailors who were professionals freaked out and threw everything off ship so it wouldn't sink. And the captain, not just one of the sailors, the captain came to the lowest part of the ship and found Jonah sleeping down there and said, "Oh, thou sleeper, why dost thou sleep? Wake up and call out to your God. Perhaps he will save us." Then he asked some questions. Who are you? Where are you from? Who is your God? And who are your people? And Jonah sat up on that cot and he said, "I'm a Hebrew and my God is the creator of heaven and earth." And what a lousy witness he was. The lowest point in his life. And he said, "Just throw me over." He gave up. "And the storm will stop." And they threw him over and the storm stopped. And Shamu came by and grabbed him. Now you know the rest of the story. You know that story. That, my friends, is a storm of correction. We all need those now and then. But here's the one that we miss. The storm of perfection. God will use a storm to perfect or mature you. And some of you are beating yourselves up so hard, you feel so guilty. You feel just horrible about what you've done or what you've said. And you think it's a storm of correction. The disciples were obedient. Jonah was disobedient. "Get in the boats, go to the other side. I'm going up here by myself, I'm going to pray. I want you to learn some lessons." He didn't say that. That was a storm of perfection. He was trying to show them that with him they can do all things. God had to correct Jonah because he disobeyed, but the disciples obeyed God and had to be matured. The inhabitants of the earth need him to come off that high throne, like off that mountain, and walk out in the water right now and take us. So many people on the planet are going to be frightened. For Paul the Apostle said, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel, the sound of the trumpet. The dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us that are alive and remain will be caught up in the air to always be together with him. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." But you know something? If you are so carnal and so worldly that you can't discern between the storms of correction and perfection, and that you are so rebellious that you're in the lowest place, you're an embarrassment to your mother and father and how they raised you, then how would you feel when Jesus comes through the storms of nuclear holocaust and chemical, biological, bacteria, and tremendous pressures that are coming on our country and on this world, and he just walks above it all and says, "Come with me." And you say, "Ah, it's a ghost." You'll be too far gone. You won't be able to repent. Today's the day. No, third thing is he's more than willing. Excuse me, the fourth thing. He's more than willing to help you grow. A lot of mistaken theology on television and churches. Positive confession. "Oh, if you just say the right word, your life will be hunky-dory." That's a lie. Mind over matter. You do this and, you know, fuzzy feeling. Friends, everything is wonderful. Everything is wonderful. Everything is wonderful. Friends, everything is wonderful. Everything is so good. Yes, friends. Yes, you, friends, yes. We'll see you back next Sunday, friends. And that's about all they get. And Paul said in the last days, people have itching ears, heaping unto themselves bread and circus people, giving the people what they want instead of really giving them the bread of life. No, mistaken theology. Everything's good. Obedience to God, obedience to the leader, obedience to the church, obedience to the denomination produces smooth sailing. Not true. We'll close with this verse, John 16:33. You all know it, but it's always good to read it and underline it in your Bible because it puts down a lot of the phoniness that is in the world today in the name of Jesus. It doesn't tell us that things will be easy. It does tell us that there are rough times and painful situations. "These things," Jesus said, verse 33, "I have spoken unto you, that in me, in Christ, you might have peace." Would you read it out loud together? "In the world," together, "ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." That's right. It's hard to make the rent. It's difficult to get to the dentist. It's hard to be friendly with everybody. It's difficult to make a marriage work. It is really rough being a mommy or daddy. It's hard to be successful. Boy, there's discipline. There's pain and suffering and pressure and storms. But be of good cheer. He's overcome the things of this world. No, there's not smooth sailing to be a Christian. that wasn't for Jesus. In closing, Warren Wiersbe, the great Bible teacher, said we should never judge our security on the basis of circumstances alone, because it'll lie to you like the crowds that want to make you king for a day. Oh, I got a little extra cash in the bank. Our credit line, we can use that and buy this. Oh, we got the ski boat. Oh, we got the house at the river. We got this over here. We got that. Everything's going great for me. Got the promotion. Comfortable. God is blessing me. Oh, wow, that hurts. Oh, whoa, whoa, what are these people saying? What's going on here? Where are you, God, when I need you? No, hold it. He's the same God. Do not think because it's smooth sailing right now that God is with you. On the flip of the coin, because you're having a rough time, don't think that God is not with you. When you learn to trust God, you know that He's the one that puts you in the boat. You know that He's overlooking your life and protecting you. And you know He'll always come to your rescue. And you know that He'll help you grow and be a godly woman or a godly man without mistaken theology. Ladies and gentlemen, God's working on your behalf. He's not working against you. So be patient with God. Be patient with Him. But listen, above all, be patient with yourself. You're never going to be perfect. Be patient with yourself. Don't beat yourself up so much and think such bad thoughts of who you aren't and who you should be. Just be you and let Him be Him, and it'll all work out. Yes. What shall we say then, Paul said to the Christians, to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, all of us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Changes everything. If God loves you so much that He said, Son, let Him murder you. Same crowd that wanted to make you king a few months ago, let Him murder you. The most excruciating torture in the history of mankind. Bread and circus was Roman, but crucifixion settled it. Let Him murder you, son. And if God would give Him so you wouldn't go through that, what makes you think He won't give you all good things? God will look after you. God will take care of you. It's not just the miracle of Jesus walking on water, but it's the miracle of teaching that takes place in spirituality that comes with trusting the Lord. Shall we stand? Shall we pray? Lord, You have many great people, young and old alike, that are standing before You right now. I think of these teenage girls that asked me if we could start a teenage choir. What a thought that, you know, they find themselves in Your house with a Bible in their hand and thinking of spiritual things, and their counterparts and their peers are at the circus eating bread. God, we'd like to pray for every person here. The man in the last service said, I just can't feel myself or feel God. Every situation, You're on the hillside looking upon every heart perceiving. And we thank You that we can trust You, but help us with our lack of trust. Help everybody here, from the Navy SEALs to the teenagers, to the married, to the single, to the professional, to the hardworking. Let everyone here understand they can trust You. That You put them in the boat. You're watching them get there. You will come to their rescue. And You will help them grow and mature. Bless these men and women, because they're in Your house today. And may they fall in love with the Bible so they can fall in love with You. Help them trust. And let them see the storms of correction and the storms of perfection. Both are there to accomplish Your will of making them into Your likeness. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Don't turn from the storm. Just keep going. You'll get to the other side sooner than you think. If you turn, you'll probably find yourself in the same storm somewhere else. Go through, but go through with Jesus.
When the storms of life come our way, don't row contrary to the winds. Just allow Christ to get on board and fill you with the peace that passes all understanding. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com, and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through John, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike.
Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. As we close our broadcast for today, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that this program only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So first and foremost, we do covet your prayers for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, write to us at Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. Now, let me invite you to join us here Wednesday for our next study in the Gospel of John. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.